Well, we're starting a new series today. Did you get your salt? How many didn't get your salt today? Hands up, you didn't get salt. We have some salt shakers, not salt shakers. We have some people giving out salt this morning. We'll call them salt shakers. Just keep your hand up if you didn't get one. Our series is in Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to be taking 8 Sundays to look at 8 of the topics that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 5. We're not going to be at the Beatitudes because everyone knows the Beatitudes. And you've probably heard 15 sermons on that already, but you probably haven't heard sermons on the other 8 passages or 8 topics that are in Matthew chapter 5. And so as we're having our pastoral team preach the different topics, we're just going to go through those. And we're starting today with the passage that's talking about salt and light. But before we do that, do you remember, I think it was 2 years ago, CBC TV had a little competition about the most famous Canadian. Do you remember that one? Wayne Gretzky was nominated, Pierre Trudeau was nominated, Don Cherry was nominated. There was a whole bunch of different, every week they'd do a bio and just try to figure out who was I don't think it was the most famous Canadian. They were the best Canadian or something like that. Well, did you know that at the same time that they were doing that, one of the newspapers did a worldwide poll, so I don't know how many people were in it, to find out who is Canada's most famous person. So this is done 3 years ago. Do you want to take a guess who the world sees as the most famous Canadian? The Canadian that they knew the most of. Sorry? Jim Carrey? No, but you're sort of in the right line. Celine Dion? No, didn't make it. It's embarrassing, but Pamela Anderson was chosen as Canada's most famous, or the most famous Canadian. And if you don't know Pamela Anderson, that's probably a good thing. She was on Baywatch, which was, I guess, her most famous television show. And I don't know if you knew this about Pamela Anderson, but she teaches Sunday school at a church. Now, I don't know what that kind of church it is. But it's I was reading that somewhere, and I don't know even where I was reading it. It wasn't her website, though, that's for sure. But here's the deal, is every single one of us is supposed to be standing out, the Bible says. We're supposed to be salt and light. We're going to read the passage in just a moment. And God has called us to have a unique place in the people that we get to influence. And there's a little passage in that story that we're going to read today. There's a little phrase that you think you know what it means, but you don't know what it means. And so we're going to get to a kicker later on this morning. So when you're watching television and there's advertising, there's all different groups are trying to be unique. And so I have one more video today to show you about people who are trying to be unique. So do we have it? Here we go. Oop, what happened? Do we have sound? We don't have sound? Back up. Is Laura there just to help me? Go back up. I'll start over again. Nicole, do you think you can get it? Try it. Well, the gist of it is that there's this salmon company that takes only the best salmon in the world. And so here's their salmon fisherman. So I don't know if you ever heard of John West, but everybody's trying to be unique, aren't they? Everyone's trying to learn to stand out. Let me go to the sermon. I don't need sound for this. Alrighty, I think we're ready to go now. So if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 5, and if you don't have your Bible, we're going to have it on the screens for you this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. Jesus said this, "You are the salt of the earth. If salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under feet." So what Jesus is quickly saying here is that if you're not unique, if you're not different as a follower of Jesus, you're useless. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So Wikipedia tells us about salt. And salt is, the most common thing for salt is that it's a taste in our culture. We add salt to our food and things. But it has lots of different things. It's a preservant. It helps our bodies as well. And the most common thing for salt, again, is this aspect of that it helps with flavoring. And it brings natural flavors out. And obviously, when we're looking at the parallel pictures that Jesus would be trying to draw from, these kind of things would be in the mind of Jesus as he's using that analogy for salt and for light. And so one of the big things for salt is not just tastiness, but 100 years ago when people didn't have refrigerators, your food was salted. Anyone grow up salting meat? Any of your culture does that? Your background, your family does that? So you would preserve food a couple of different ways. Salt would be rubbed onto the meat, or you put things into a salt solution, which we call brine, and it does the very, very same sort of thing. And interestingly, bacteria and those bad kind of things that aren't good for you that can get into foods that we eat, salt kills those and destroys those. And so Jesus understood that aspect of salt as well. Did you know that salt helps in healing? If you don't have some ointments and things that you can douse whatever's cut or bruised or whatever into in a salt solution, it helps to cleanse. And it's the first abrasive. And so for those of you that are using Comet and those kind of things to clean your bathtub and your sink and things, salt was the first thing that was used before people began to use those kind of things. So salt just has a lot of these positive things. Light is just a fascinating science, and scientists are just doing amazing studies to find out how powerful light is and the positive qualities of light. And this is a real technical term here, again, from Wikipedia in terms of what light is. But light is one of these things that has obvious functions of just, like, we would have difficulty seeing each other if this was complete darkness, if there wasn't light. So there's the illumination, there's the giving passageways and all that kind of stuff. But light has healing powers as well. It is able to cut, isn't it? Lasers. It's just to be used that way. And here's the kicker. In this passage, it says this: in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds. Your good deeds. This word deeds is not translated as best as it can be. Some translations have the phrase your good works, and that's closer to it. The primary meaning of this Greek word that's used here is it's talking about how you live in your workplace. It's not about the good things that you do. That's not what Jesus is talking about when he says salt and light. He's talking about, do you stand out in your workplace? That's the Greek word there. Do you stand out in your work? Does your work actions, your deeds, the things that you do they make you stand out that people would know you're a follower of Jesus? So that's the rub right there, isn't it? Is how do we stand out so that people would know that we're unique, we're different? And you can be different bad and different good. So most of us have seen people, perhaps a little bit like Brother Franklin this morning, who is dancing on his as he's giving his tithes and offerings. Everybody in the church knows who Brother Franklin is, don't they? You can bet it. If he does that week after week after week and comes up with an original dance every week, I don't know, you know, just how that goes. But he was standing out. The other people were, you know, moving a little bit, and some were just walking as they were giving their tithes and offerings. But when Brother Franklin came to give his offering, he stood out. Yes? He was standing out. So you can be a little weird, and people understand you, but that doesn't help the name of Jesus, does it? In the book of Peter, Peter talks about that if you're arrested, if you're brought before magistrates, and you've been oppressed, and you've been, just trying to think what the actual word that's used there. I didn't look this passage up. But it has the idea that if you get in trouble because of you being weird, well, you deserved it. That's basically what Peter's saying. But if you suffer abuse and suffer persecution because of your godliness and you're living in an honorable lifestyle, you're living in a way that is a good role model for people to know about Jesus and to represent Jesus, well, that's what we're talking about here. And Jesus was this amazing person that as he was living, everybody had respect for him, or almost everybody had respect for him. The poor saw his heart, his actions, his character. The people that were going through oppression and difficulties, the people that had sicknesses and diseases, they all wanted to be around Jesus. But most people did not really know for sure if Jesus was God or was just a human being. And that was the debate, wasn't it? And the Jewish leaders and the Jewish people would, especially as Jesus spent 2 or 3 years in ministry, they would actually say right out and say, "Tell us, are you the Messiah?" And the lifestyle that Jesus was living, the way that he was talking, his actions, all those different kind of things, people were saying, there's something about this guy. He's different. He's unique. He's bringing stuff to the table that is drawing us to think that God must be involved in his life and perhaps he's the Messiah. Because for a Jewish person to accredit someone as being the Messiah is a big deal. Like, that's the biggest historical step in the Jewish calendar, those who don't follow Jesus, is to believe that the Messiah is returning. And so if Jesus was getting credit and people are saying he is the Messiah, he is the Son of God, he is the one that's coming, and as people are beginning to say those things and rumors are going out and people are trying to figure it out, well, I don't know if it's true or not. And then they see the miracles, then they see the stuff that's happening. And they're going, oh my goodness, well maybe he is. Maybe he is the Messiah, maybe he is the Son of God. And his actions and what he was doing was just speaking loud and clear, and who was getting the credit? Well, he kept saying, if you like me, you'll love my dad. He just kept talking about his dad, didn't he? He referred to Father God 300 times as Father. And he kept pushing people to his Father. My Father does this, my Father is this, my Father is this, my Father is this. And your actions and my actions are supposed to cause people to look at us and glorify God. And that's not an easy task, is it? To glorify God when they look at me. Because the normal is that people look at me, let's say I'm in a place where people don't know I'm a follower of Jesus, I just show up. Okay, so I'm at this coming Friday night, I'm sorry, but I won't be here with Gwen Shaw and Parachute Band. Gilberto Lima and I don't know if Gilberto's here this morning, usually sits over here, obviously not. Gilberto and I are going to the Real Madrid Toronto FC game. And so when I'm there, jumping up and down, holding my red scarf, having my red Toronto FC shirt on and doing all the songs and all that kind of stuff, are people around me going to know I'm a follower of Jesus? Well, if I'm doing all those kind of things like everyone else, they're not going to know that, are they? Not going to know at all. So if I stand up at some point and yell and scream and put a rainbow wig on and a big sign that says John 3:16. Do you remember seeing that guy in the sports shows? So will people now know that I'm a follower of Jesus? The answer is probably yes. Will they turn in their Bibles to John 3:16, look it up? A few may, but most people are going to make fun of me and mock me and just point and laugh, aren't they? And so this is the challenge that Jesus was presenting to his followers who are listening to him. When Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, what he's talking to is his group of followers, the 12 and the multitudes. And when we get to the end of chapter 7, if you get to the end of chapter 7 in the reading, it talks about the multitude of people. When they heard Jesus give these teachings, they were just full of amazement and said, we've never heard anyone teach like this. So church, this is the challenge. How do we stand out without being obnoxious, without being rude, for people to see us and notice that there's something different in us that God gets the credit? I have only, to the best of my knowledge, had one person come up to me and say something about me being a follower of Jesus without me ever saying something. And when I was in Bible college, I had a job my last year at a company in Scarborough that made food for coffee trucks. Anyone ever bought food from a coffee truck? Already. Well, it's actually food. And our particular place made food for 30 trucks that were primarily in the Scarborough area. And the food's made the day ahead and put in a freezer. And my job when I was there in the mornings was I was the floor manager, and my job was to get there like at 5 in the morning and make sure that everybody's order, what they'd ordered, all the sandwiches that they'd ordered, all the macaroni and cheese, the steaks, whatever they were selling, newspapers, coffee, Coke, Pepsi, whatever their order was when they drove into the warehouse area, and each one has a dock. Whenever they drove in, their stuff was there, and they all had schedules and had to be there, and we only had like 10 spots for 30, and so there's a schedule when they're coming in and all that kind of stuff. There was one guy who came in. He was the most successful of all the drivers. He happened to do drugs on the side and sell drugs, so that's actually where I was making his money. The coffee truck was just a little bit of a ploy. He was the hardest guy to please, demanding every single time, swear at everybody, and there was 4 or 5 of us that were on the team. There was one guy, all he did was just fill everyone's coffee up, and he had this big, long, inch-thick garden hose that went to, it was actually perked coffee that took hours to perk, and he'd have this garden hose, and fill it up, and he would come in late, and he put off everyone else's schedules, and he'd just be demanding, and because he was the top guy, he just had to have it right then and there. And one day, he comes in, and he's late again, and he yells out, like he would just yell and say, "Steve, where's my stuff?" And it's like, you know, you run and all that kind of stuff. And all the other employees would swear back and all that kind of stuff. I didn't. I would just sort of do nothing and just look after his business. One day, he yells out when he gets in, "Steve, are you a Christian?" It's like, "Yes, get over here." Like mean-spirited. But when I got over, he begins to cry and tells me that his daughter was in a car accident the day before, and could I pray for him? And it was like, that's the only time that I can think of that someone recognized by my behavior, because I work in a church environment, so most people are supposed to be followers of Jesus, supposed to be salt and light. But I can clearly remember that time where this guy saw my behavior in terms of I wasn't swearing, I wasn't doing some of the things that the other guys were, and that his thought was, I'm a follower of Jesus. And so he asked that. And it turns out, yes, I was, and was able to pray for him. I hope that you get those kind of things. If you've never had that kind of thing happen where someone says, by the way, are you a follower of Jesus? You're probably not being as salty and as full of light as you can. So let's take a look at just a couple things and how do we live a life that reflects God? Well, when it comes to salt, we're supposed to be cleansing and bringing healing. And we get lots of opportunities. You're going to get some practical ways to do that in your workplace. I had a gentleman talked to me a couple weeks ago and was having some problems in his workplace. And it was like, what do I do? People are against me. And it seems like everyone's picking on me and all this kind of stuff. And I just encouraged this person to do what one of the ladies in the Polish group that Sandra and I used to lead we had that very same situation. And in the cell group, someone had said, here's what you do. You go into your workplace 15 minutes before everyone else is there. You lay hands on every chair of every other person there. You lay hands on every desk. You speak over the environment and you speak peace and you speak the presence of God in that work environment. And this lady in our Polish group from this church, Eva, what happened was that in a matter of 2 to 3 weeks, she went from being the most criticized person to the friend of everybody. And God's able to do those kind of things. So your role, my role, is to be a cleansing agent. So when someone goes to talk about a joke that you just know isn't good, what kind of options do you have? I don't know if I told you this story because I've been here 16 years and I can't remember all my stories. I used to play ice hockey, not at a great skill, but better than most. And I was considered, I can't even remember the term, but I was the ringer for the Mississauga Parks and Recreation, for the planning department ice hockey team. Before I was married, Sandra and I were married 27 years ago. I used to live with a couple, and he was involved in the mapping department for the city of Mississauga planning department, and they needed some extra players, and so I was added onto the team. At the end of every hockey game, someone would take turns bringing beer, and they would all have a beer before they went home. And that was just sort of the custom. And if you play ice hockey, that's one of the things that doesn't happen as much anymore, but was certainly happening. And there was a young guy named Dana that would sit beside me a lot, and we just engage in conversations, and he knew I was a pastor. How'd you get on the team? Well, I'm a friend of Andy's. Oh, do you go to the same church as Andy? Because Andy obviously was talking about his church. And yeah, and all that kind of stuff. So Dana, as a young guy, is put in charge of the end-of-the-year banquet, end-of-the-year party for our ice hockey team. And so he announces one day, he says, guys, I've booked, and then he named the strip place. I booked this strip club for our end-of-year banquet, and I've got all these table dancers that are going to come for us, and I've looked after everything. We're going to have a great time. And who's coming? And it's like, maybe a third of the guys knew I was a pastor. And so I said out loud, you know what, Dana, I'd love to be there. However, I don't know that that's going to be a good thing for my marriage. So if you can find another place, I'll go there, but I don't think I want to go to a strip club. My wife wouldn't be happy about that. As soon as I said that, all the married guys said the same thing. You know what? He's right. We probably should go to another place. The single guys were very upset at me. And it ended up that they went to another place. And it was like I was able to say something to be a cleansing agent. Do you understand? And the Holy Spirit promises us that we're going to have those kind of opportunities. Salt preserves good things, destroys rotten influences. This is sort of in the same thing. There's this amazing passage that says Abimelech pressed his attack, he's a king, against the city until he captured it and killed its people. Then he destroyed the city and scattered salt over it. It was the idea of he was putting stuff, when he was destroying things that were ungodly, he was putting an end to them, and salt was the final straw, as it were. He was putting salt in the land so that the crops for a season would be toxic and would not be able to grow. And that's part of your role and my role, is in the places that we are, the people that we meet, when we see demonic stuff, that we put a stop to it. You don't have to say it out loud and start speaking in tongues in your workplace and everyone thinks you're crazy. You can do that quietly, can't you? And just begin to say, I bind this spirit and I bind this, and I'm asking Holy Spirit for your presence to come. This is part of our role. Jesus also talked about salt, I think, and the idea of enhancing. This is the flavor kind of thing. And Colossians says, let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everybody. Would you like to have a good answer every single time? Boy, oh boy, would that be good. I've got a couple videos we'll show you probably in another few weeks. But you know what? Sandra, come on up here and talk for 15 seconds while I cue up a video. I know you're not prepared. Just come up and talk. Tell a story. Tell a story about you being salt and light.
I can't think of any. Oh, I know. When I before I was married, I remember in the workplace, and my very first job was Allstate Insurance. And I remember my first experience, we were sitting around the table at lunchtime, and every day the wives would complain about their husbands. And it was so foreign to me because I was engaged to the most amazing man. And and then we got married. Yes. And we got married, and it never just went. And one day I just said to them, you know what, I don't know, see what you see. But, you know, I can see how it would be so easy to be peppered on. I would say peppered, you know, because I don't like pepper. But, when picked on, you know, when people are constantly speaking negative, you start believing those things. But inside of you, really what you need to do is stick with the purity that God has given you and just say, you know what, that isn't the truth. So that's my song.
Okay, Laura, are you able to put my sound on again for another video? Okay, so this is my problem. Saying the wrong things at the wrong place at the wrong time. Oh, sorry. That's what I do.
Muy bien. Es una pavada. Igual una prima mía se lo hicieron. Mira, te hacen un tajito acá, te la levantan como si fuera un capó y te liman. Después te cierran, te cosen, te queda pero divina. Hermosa la idea.
Me
opero
de amígdalas.
I don't know if you got it, but he was Did you not see it? Yes? Okay, I'll give you the script as it goes. Sorry about that. I think it's in Spanish.
¿Quieres un poquito de
whoops. No, gracias. No, mañana.
Would you like some wine? No, I'm having minor surgery tomorrow, and my doctor ordered me not to drink. Good for you. My cousin had it done. They put a cut in the side of his nose. They lifted it like a hood, then let it fall down. They sew the nose back up, and that's it. It's beautiful, flawless. I'm having my tonsils out. Okay, sorry about that. It didn't fit. I thought it was going to fit better than it did. That's not being salt when you say the wrong thing at the wrong time. Okay, let's keep going. Light is supposed to bring hope in an environment where there's gloom, where there's doom, where there's not good things. And folks, if there's ever a time for followers of Jesus to be lights in gloomy places, it's right now, isn't it? For you to have a word, for you to have a story to be able to tell. I am one of the reasons why we talk about, as Elsie talked about this morning, is just having, encouraging people to be faithful and givers is when an environment of our financial system right now, in terms of just coming out of recession and things like that, that's the conversation of everybody, isn't it? Cutbacks and this and this and this. And when you're able to tell a story and just say something like, you know what, God did this, and you tell your story and people are going like, how does that happen? Because most people don't have those kind of stories. Did you know that? Most people don't have God providing financial miracle stories. The only stories they get are winning the lottery. And not too many people get those. One of every 33 million Canadians wins the big one. That's the odds. One of every 33 million. So a whole bunch of people win $5 and $10, and they're thinking that's good. Meanwhile, followers of Jesus are getting hundreds, thousands of dollars that are coming their way because our daddy's good. And I want to encourage you, you have stories that are able to bring life. Next thing, as light, we're able to bring guidance where there's ignorance and deceit. Do you know that God's able to give you a word for a person that snuggles up beside you in their workplace and they just begin to share with you in their story and saying, you know what, I'm really not sure how my marriage is going or my relationship. I'm having problems with this. I'm having problems with that. That's your cue as a follower of Jesus to listen to the Holy Spirit and just begin to speak out the thoughts that come to you. And here I'm going to tell you it's hard. Because most of us want to know all that we're going to say before we say it. It does not work like that. How many of you pray before you have a meal? Occasionally. Or a whole bunch. Okay. So when you say thank you for the prayer, unless you have the same prayer that my sons have had for 23 years, thank you, Jesus, for this food, amen. That's the same prayer that my sons use. Occasionally we'll go, add something for the tasty food. And, you know, it's like they just... But if you pray an original prayer when you give thanks for your food, did you know that you don't know what sentence number two is until you're halfway through sentence number one? Is that not the way it goes? Father, thank you for this food. I want to thank you for, and then a thought comes. And as you say that one, another thought comes, and another thought comes. That's the way it works when you're giving free advice, God advice, to people in your work environment. People that are your neighbors, people your friends, and you're beginning to talk to people. I go to the gym 3 times a week. I try to run a couple miles 3 days a week, and my reward is to go into the steam room at the end and just relax and all that kind of stuff. The problem with the steam room is you can't see other people's faces. You can't, it's steamy. And so I was in there this week, and a gentleman who's older than I am, and I'm the only one in there. He doesn't know me. I don't think he knows me. And he begins to tell this very off-color joke. I said nothing. There's silence. And he goes, did you hear what I said? I go, yes, I did. And he goes, and? Like, you weren't laughing. And I said, well, I didn't think it was actually very funny. Oh. And then he says, what do you do for a living? And it's like, well, actually, I'm a pastor of a church. Oh, God bless you, sir. And he's, that was this week. It's like, all of a sudden, you know, I can't see him being embarrassed. You know, I didn't see him go red or anything like that. Those kind of things are going to happen, aren't they? And how do you respond? That's what Jesus is talking about, being salt, being light. Let's move on. Lights that reveal danger and warn others of it. And it says this about Jesus, that he came as a witness to testify concerning to that light, so that through him, Jesus, all may believe. So, a couple questions for you. How salty are you this morning? I know you have a little packet of salt. Use this however you want. Preserve some food. Add it to your food for tastiness. Put it in, if you got a little cut. Yeah, I don't know what you want to do with your salt, but you... Not in your cut. No, make some salt water. And Sandra, you're not supposed to be... You had your chance. So are you the kind of person that there's no difference? That's the question this morning. That's the question that Jesus would ask you. Is there a difference in your lifestyle, in your conduct? Because remember that word, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The word deeds isn't the nice things that you're doing. It's your common, regular, this is how I live. Your lifestyle. That's what that word's all about. So do people see that? Are you salty enough? How bright's your light? Is there a difference between you and those who don't know Jesus? What about your thought life? What about your sexuality, your attitude, all these different kind of things? Are you unique? Are you different? How would people know that you're a follower of Jesus? Is there any tangible difference? That would be the question today.